Turn, if you will, in your Bibles this morning, Ecclesiastes. Now, spend the rest of the time looking for that one. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. I wanted to get over here where Richard wouldn't get involved. For y'all who do not come on Sunday nights, me and him been battling over 1 John. And I told him, I said, "You win, brother. I'm moving on." And I did. Ecclesiastes chapter 9, look at verse 10. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with your might, for there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you're going. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you today. God, we thank you for your blessings. We thank you, Lord, for this time that we can come together and let your word speak to our heart. And God, this morning I pray that we'll open up our hearts and eyes of our understanding, that we might be enlightened to what you'd have for us to understand in this passage of Scripture. And God, we'll give you the praise, for it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Amen. Had a friend of mine, he's a pretty good friend of mine for the last probably 20 years. We meet every once in a while and we have breakfast and talk, and he says, "How's things going down at the great First Baptist Church in Gun Barrel City?" And I asked him, said, why do you call it great? And he said, "Because of your people." And I thought about that. "Because of your people," he said. "You got a great group of people." So I ask you this morning, are you a good church member? Are you a good church member? Is this a great church? And I've been thinking about that in the next few sermons. So we're going to be down this line about good membership, good church members, and good church. Abraham Lincoln said, "Whatever you are, be a good one." Whatever you are this morning, be a good one. Helen Keller said, "When we do our best, or when we do the best we can, we never know what miracle is wrought in our life or in the life of another." Are you a good church member? Are you doing the best you can? Are you a good one? As Abraham Lincoln would have said, whatever you do for the Lord, wherever you might serve, are you doing your best this morning? Now, I want you to think about that. I want you to ponder over that. What am I doing? Am I doing my best for the Lord, for the Lord Jesus? Solomon said, "Whatever thy hand findeth to do, whatever your hands find to do, do it with all thy might." He's simply saying, whatever you give, do your best. Do the best you can. And ask yourself, am I really doing my best? Now, first, I want you to notice the purpose that defines us in our life. The purpose that defines what we are in our life. Whatsoever your hands find to do, the Bible says here. I am reminded that life has a purpose for each one of us. And that word "do" speaks a world of that purpose that we have in life. What are we doing with our life? What are we doing in our life? There's something in each of us, and every single person in here has that purpose to do. It's called the will of God. God wants you to serve under His will. Do His will in your life. Now, what is that will in His life for you to do? Psalm 139:14 says, "I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. That word wonderfully means that you have been set apart by the Lord God Himself. God has created you, and He has a purpose in mind for your life. Now listen, young people, you're just starting off the road of life. Every one of you have a purpose. God doesn't make junk. He makes people. He created you with a purpose in mind. He created this church with a purpose in mind. He adds people to His church with a purpose in mind. Now, we've got to define what God's will is for our life and get in on that will so that we can be a great church. And we have to get in on that will so that we can be a great church member, so that we can do the best we can. You see, the Bible says, David, in Acts 13:36, he served God in his own generation after the will of God. You see, what David did was defined by the will of God for his life. What David did in his life was defined literally by God. David served his generation after God's purpose for his life. Paul often spoke about the will of God in his life. He says in a lot of his writings, I will come to you if it is the will of God that I come. And his desire was to do the will of God. You see, he wanted his way to be prosperous. And the only way his way could be prosperous is if he was in God's will. The only way you can do the best you can is to find out what God's will is for your life and then get in on that will. Solomon says, speaking of the purpose of life, finding God's will, that is an important thing in your life. Whatsoever your hands find to do, be sure it's in the will of God. Apart from the day that I was saved, the greatest day in my life was when I found out God's will for my life. Apart from being saved, the greatest day was finding out God's will for my life. Man, that was a beautiful thing when I found out that God had a plan and a purpose for my life. Life's greatest discovery, I believe, is learning what God's will is for your life. Boy, you're going to smile when you find out what God's will is. You're going to enjoy serving God when you find out what God's will is for your life. You're going to enjoy whether it's teaching or whatever it might be. God's got a plan for your life and a purpose. And when you're in the center of God's will, it's not going to make you any difference if you're out there trimming hedges or mowing the church lawn or digging a ditch wherever you might work. If you're in the center of God's will, you're going to be happy. Every day that you live, you're going to be happy in the Lord because you are exactly where God wants you to be. Ephesians 5:17 says, Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the perfect will of God is. Now, if He don't want you to be unwise, I think you'd be wise to understand the will of God. You see, understanding the will of God puts life in perspective for you. We were talking about puzzles last night. Miss Brenda was talking about puzzles and putting puzzles together. I love to put puzzles together. You know, on the front of the box, it always has a picture of the puzzle. And you know, when you scatter that puzzle out on that table, you want to turn all the pieces up right, start with. I enjoy watching it as you find a piece here and put it over here. I enjoy seeing that puzzle come together. What a beautiful picture it is. And when you get it together, it's just like the one on the front of the box. And it's a beautiful thing. Man, that's what understanding the will of God is for your life. Understanding the will of God gives you a mental comprehension of what you're supposed to do in or for God or in the Christian life. And when you understand what you're to do in the Christian life, guess what? You're going to be a happy person. You're going to be a blessed person. If you can just find out what that will is, you see, it defines what you're doing in your life. And there is a special thing that a person is to do. And when we find out what that is, oh, it's a joyous occasion in your life. He that findeth what his hands are to do. That word findeth means that you're seeking after, you're longing to find, you're seeking after what God wants you to do. Great churches and great church members are doing exactly that. Did you know the Bible says, without a vision, the people will perish? I believe without a vision, a church will die. I believe when you have a great church, you have a great group of people who are working together in God's will to build up God, to lift God up so that people will be drawn to Him. Now, we've got to find out God's will. Let me say this. I do not believe that the will of God is difficult to find out. I do not believe that God would say that we need to know His will and try to hide that from us. Some people say, well, preacher, I just wish I knew God's will for my life, but I just can't find it. Well, I'll tell you why. More than likely, you're not looking for it. You do not desire really to know God's will, because if your frame of thought is, well, if I know God's will, then I'm going to have to do it. So I'd rather say, well, preacher, I just don't think I know God's will for my life. And therefore, you can just do nothing. You see, doing nothing is not doing the best you can. And I believe we need to seek God's will with a desire, really, to find it. Let me ask you another question. Are you seeking it this morning? Now, let me tell you something else. If you're not doing what you already know to do, it's going to be hard to find out His will. You understand what I'm saying? If you're not doing what you already know God wants you to do, He's not going to show you anymore, because you're not doing what He's already shown you. You understand that? I do not believe God would want us or would tell us to understand His will if it was impossible to find it. Folks, let me tell you something. I found God's will for my life. He began to show me His will for my life, and I began to think, Lord, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know, Lord, if I can do that or not. And it was just as plain as everything in my life. Are you going to trust me? Are you going to trust yourself? And I thought about that. And I read my favorite verse of Scripture, without faith, it is impossible to do anything. And I thought, man, I've got to have faith in God. Faith is substance. And I said, Lord, I'll do it. I don't know how, but I'll do what you call me to do. And you know what? When I made that step of faith and decided, Lord, I'm going to do what you asked me to do, boy, He just opened up the gates of heaven and poured out a blessing upon my life. He gave me wisdom I didn't understand I had before. And he's walked every step of the way, always ahead of me. You see, God is willing for you to be the best you can. He wants you to do the very best. And therefore, if we desire his will in our life, he will show us that will in our life. Well, the quest of life is for a person to find out what God's purpose is for his life and do that. Do that. Let me ask you a question. What do you like to do? That's a good place to start. What would you like to do for God? I believe God wants you to do that. Do your very best. Do the best you can. Start living for the Lord. Read your Bible. Study the Word. You know, go to church. I believe you'll find out if you'll do that. Follow God's purpose in life. That's what we need to do. When we find out God's will for our life, let me tell you something else. Like the Nike commercial says, just do it. Just do it. You see, finding God's purpose in life is one of the greatest discoveries in life. And it's also one of the greatest blessings in life. John 2:17 says, 1 John, he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What a personal blessing and what an eternal blessing it is to do God's will with your life. Do you know God's great purpose for your life this morning? Do you know that? Have you found that purpose? Are you following that purpose? I would dare to say, in most churches, only about 10% of the people are doing that. Folks, that's very few. But let you decide that. Ask yourself once again, am I a great church member? If you are, you're doing the will of God. You're following God's plan for your life. I've had people say, well, I'd like to have a job up there at the church. Would you? Would you like to? Well, you know, it's more than having a job at the church. It's more than just, I want to do something. It's doing God's will. Folks, that's what it is. That purpose defines whatever we do and how we do it. I've had people get discouraged and say, preacher, I'm discouraged, I'm going to quit. You know what, I was thinking about that this week. People get discouraged and they quit. And I said, Lord, if I'd have quit every time I got discouraged, I'd have quit after the first 20 minutes of preaching. I'm so glad I didn't quit. But you know, there's nothing else I can do. I've got to do what God called me to do. I can't quit. Someone said the other day, well, are you fixing to retire and quit preaching? I said, no, I'm going to become a J. You know, I don't believe you'll ever quit if you're called to preach. Man, you can't do anything else. I cannot help but preach the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. You see, there's a purpose that defines what we do, and there's a passion that describes what we do. The will of God, he says, Ephesians 6:6, I want the will of God, do the will of God from the heart. You see, preaching is my passion. Pastoring is my passion. I can't do anything else but pastor to people. I love people. Oh, yeah, they disappoint me. They stab you in the back sometimes. But you know what? I love them anyhow. I've got to love them. God said, love them. It's giving God your best. Someone said, well, I'd preach too if I made the money you make. Praise God, I wish you did. Man, I started out $50 a week and had two children and no house and had house payments. If it hadn't been for God, I don't know what I'd have done. You see, God says preach. I don't preach for money. I preach out of passion for God. I love Him with all my heart. I don't come to this church on Sunday morning because I've got to preach. I come because I want to worship God. This is where God, we meet God at. Man, through the song, Jerusalem, man, that just tugged at my heart. Every time I hear that song, when we entered into Jerusalem a few years ago, we come off at, you come out of Jericho. Jericho's way down on the Jordan, and you come up a canyon, and you follow that old dirt road. It's a highway, but it's dirt on both sides. It's a desert, really. And you come up through that wilderness area, and you get on top of that hill. And when we broke over into Jerusalem, that song was playing loud on the speaker of the bus. You know, and man, every time I hear that, I think of when we topped that a mountaintop. There's Jerusalem spread out all there. I saw that Mount Moriah. I saw the Dome of the Rock. And I said, oh, God, it must be wonderful. What heaven's going to look like? I can't help but preach. Solomon means whatever we do, give it our best. Give it our very best. And you know, we're not giving it our best. We're not giving it our best. I watched people walk into church this morning. They could have come to Sunday school, but they didn't. They decided they would just come for the worship hour. You're not giving it your best. If you gave it your best, you'd be here at for Sunday school. If you gave it your best, you'd be here tonight. Amen or oh me. Amen. You see, that's giving it our best. You know, if I want to go to a ball game, there's nothing going to keep me away. I looked at those nuts out there in that ball game. It's -0 degrees, and they're out there with no shirts on, and I think, man, if I just had them in my church, I sure want them to cover up their chest, but man, they'll do that for a football game. Now, I know you're saying, yeah, but they won't come to church. Well, neither will you most of the time. You see, if we're faithful to do things like that, why can't we say, God, I'm going to give you my best in 2014. I'm going to make the Bible study. I'm going to make the worship service Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. You see, I watched a lot of you choir members walk out and go home after choir. And I think, Lord, let them fall in love with you, not the choir. And I know you're not giving it your best. But don't judge the choir, because a lot of you don't come at all. You see? Are you a good church member? Are we a great church? If we find out what God's purpose is. You see, God deserves our very best, folks. He gave His best. He gave His best, His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross, that we might have life. We didn't deserve that. You certainly didn't deserve it. I didn't deserve it. The Bible says God commended his love towards us, and while we were yet sinners, we stunk as sinners. We crucified his son. That's how much we thought of his son. And yet he said, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. I'm so glad he opened my eyes, 1975, and let me see the light. Do you give him your best? He deserves it. Not only does he deserve it, he demands our best. One of the indictments of the people of Malachi. Over in Malachi, they're talking about robbing God, and they said, Lord, where have we robbed thee? He says, in your tithes and offerings. You know what they were doing? God wanted their best. They were bringing their stale bread to the sacrifice. They were bringing their sick cows and animals to the sacrifice. And they were giving God their leftovers. They were giving him the sickly of the group. And they didn't even know that. I mean, they didn't see it. They said, God, where have we robbed you? He said, try giving you sick animals and your molded bread to the governor and see if he's pleased with it. You see, God deserves and God demands our very best in our Christian walk. And if you're not walking your best, you're not living for the Lord your best, you're giving him your leftovers. Now, I know that there's a risk of making some people mad and you'll find another church next week. But I'm telling you this because I love you. And if you don't take it that way, then I'll see you. Because that's what God's Word says. Malachi, they robbed God. And they didn't even know it. And you know what? I really believe you're a lovely bunch of people, and I really believe everybody really thinks they love the Lord, and you probably think you're doing all right. They did that in Malachi too. But he said, listen, tell them, you robbed me because you're giving me your leftovers, and I gave you my very best. Neither were they accepted by the Lord. You see, we can't half do the work of God and expect him to bless us. Someone said this morning, preacher, are we going to have revival again? We ain't had it the first time. And we won't have it until we start living for God, until we start giving him our best. We're not going to have revival. Oh, we can have a series of meetings, and we can wear each other out, patting each other on the back. But we're not going to have revival until we start living for the Lord, you see, doing what he wants us to do. There's a purpose, and that is God's will, that defines who we are and what we do. And there is a passion that defines how we do that. Are we doing it for God? And then the third thing, and I'll shut up. There's a period that determines what we do. Solomon, listen to what he says here. For there is no work or device or knowledge or wisdom in the grave where you are going. You see, Solomon gives us a reason why we should give and do our best now. He reminds us, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the judgment, you're going to die. Now is the time to do what we're going to do. I got tickled. I read this thing about these two men. They were, you know, at a funeral, the body's usually put here and everybody passes by. And these two men were discussing the man, one of their friends, and he says, you know, he was faithful. That guy said, yeah. He said, by the way, what would you want to hear when we pass by your funeral? He was faithful? He said, nah, that don't matter much. Don't he look natural? He said, nah, I don't think that would please me either. He said, well, you're pretty hard to please. What would you want to hear? And he said, look, he's moving. I think that's what I'd want to hear too. What are people going to say about you when you're dead and gone? Folks, the opportunity that we have to do God's will, to be our very best, exists today. Right now, there's an opportunity for you to do your very best for God. There's no work in the grave, he says. Right now is the opportunity. James says, whereas you do not know what shall tomorrow bring, for what is your life? It is a vapor that appears for a short time and is gone. I'm aware every week of death, just about it. Someone in our family dies. Someone that's a relative of our family dies. And I'm called, or someone's called, to do that funeral. They've lost their opportunity for any more work. And people tell me, said, preacher, one of these days I'm going to get involved in the church. And the next thing you know, I get a call and they're gone. That day never came. And it's too late for them to work. That's what he's saying. Today is today. It's the only day that we have. It may be our last day, so what are you going to do with it? Are you going to be faithful to God today? In a few moments, you're going to get an opportunity. Some of you are lost. You've never trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today may be the last chance that you can do that. You're not promised tomorrow. You get in the car and you go out of here and you get hit and killed. And it's over. You're lost for all eternity. You're like that rich man. The Bible says, and in hell he lifted up his eyes and said, Lord, I'm suffering down here. He said, I can't do anything about that. You had your chance. You had your opportunity for all eternity. He's still in misery today. He's still suffering today. It never ends in hell. Or you can say, you know, Lord, I want to trust you. I want to put my faith in Jesus. I want to live for him. I want life to have purpose. I've got more problems. You know, God says, come to me. I'll help you. You're here this morning and you've got problems. I'm not going to say just because you accept Jesus Christ, all those problems will go away like that. But I'm telling you, with Christ, it'll make them a whole lot lighter. For he says, just cast your burdens on me. Let me take care of them. Would you come and trust him as your Lord and Savior? Maybe you're here and you're already saved. You're a church member, but you realize that you're not a good church member. You haven't made the most of your opportunities for God. And right now the old devil's knocking on your door and saying, you need to stay home tonight. And you're deciding, I'm caught between going and staying. I want to be a good church member. Don't let the devil win. You decide right now, I am going. I'm going to be here at 6 o'clock. I'm going to be here at 5:30, if the Lord's willing, and I don't die. Otherwise, I plan to be here. Folks, now is the opportunity. It ends in the grave when we die. There's no second chance. This is all we have. Great churches are made by great church members who are following after the purpose of God with their life, with their heart, and right now. Would you come? Let me pray, and then you have a decision to make. What are you going to do with God this morning? Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for the people here. Lord, I love them, and I pray that you'll reveal that to them. And this message was just as much to me as it is to them. And God, let us do what we can right now, not next week. Lord, let us be faithful now, because now is all we have. And any decision we need to make, God, may it be today. For it's in Christ's name we ask it. Amen. Would you stand and would you come?